for dogs that have been eating a kibble diet, if they switch to a more whole foods diet where there's plenty of moisture built in, then we see those kidney values drop back down to normal in many cases. So that's always step one, is to make sure that this dog is well hydrated. The second is that at its basis, whether this is an acute process or a chronic process in the kidneys, inflammation is underlying everything. And so it's critical to make sure that we control inflammation as best as possible.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your natural dog healthcare host, Alora McKinley.
G'day guys, welcome back. Now, kidneys play such an important role in our body and have many roles, from filtering our blood to helping regulate our blood pressure and many other vital functions. So it's understandable that when something happens to these vital organs, such as the diagnosis of kidney disease, it can really be devastating to pet owners as it can impact a dog's overall health and longevity. Now, kidney disease is quite a complex condition, and so to help us understand it a little bit deeper and give us some tips on how to manage it in dogs, I can't wait to introduce you to Dr. Ruth Roberts, the host of Pet Summit's Holistic Dog Summit. Known as the original pet health coach, has aided thousands of pets with conditions ranging from kidney disease to cancer through her natural, effective healing methods. She developed the original Croc Pet Diet, a balanced home-cooked diet for pets, emphasizing it as the cornerstone of their health. Expanding her impact, she now trains dedicated pet parents and professionals to become certified holistic pet health coaches. Thanks so much for joining me today, Dr. Ruth.
Alora, it is my pleasure and so happy to be here.
That's great. Now, kidney disease can be a really serious concern in dogs. Can you help us understand the basics of how kidneys function in dogs and what signs might indicate a problem with their renal function?
Sure. So the basics are that the kidneys are one of the organs that receive something like 30% of the blood flow with each heart rate. And it's because they are so important in filtering out waste products, but also they're involved in electrolyte and water balance regulation, as well as, interestingly, creating a hormone called erythropoietin, which stimulates the bone marrow to produce red blood cells. So they are incredibly vital. And I think we're just beginning to understand how they interact with the rest of the body. But it's sad because it's one of the most common conditions that is diagnosed in dogs and cats. And it's very frustrating to me too, because we're doing blood work more frequently for pets. And what we see with our dogs often is we'll see some elevated kidney values. The veterinarian will often say, oh my gosh, your dog has kidney disease or kidney failure. And then the pet owner is left sort of going, what do I do now? Because the vet has said, we'll just put them on this bag of food and just wait till it gets worse.
Yeah. And then so what are some problems that may indicate a problem with their renal health?
So that's the frustrating thing, is until the kidney disease is very advanced, there may be no signs. But the most common are drinking more water, urinating more frequently, and then things like losing body weight and just sort of lack of energy. And very late in the course of the disease, we may see nausea, lack of appetite, vomiting, and diarrhea.
So then what are some risk factors for kidney disease in dogs? Is there anything that contributes to it?
Sure. Dry food. I mean, we're basically feeding kibble that is incredibly difficult for the dog to digest. Often they just consume it whole, and then it takes a tremendous amount of time for that kibble to resorb enough water to be digested. And as a result, what happens is this food goes through the GI tract, and it is sucking water out of the digesta instead of allowing water to go into the body to support further kidney function. And the reason water consumption is so important is that if we drink more water, then there's more volume in the blood so that the kidneys have an easier time of filtering the blood out for toxins. So if the blood is more dilute because we're well hydrated, we've got plenty of fluid on board, the kidneys have a much easier time of doing their job versus a dog that's walking around 3 to 5% dehydrated all the time. Also, if there's been a significant health challenge that's caused a lot of vomiting or and diarrhea or dehydration, then what we can see is an impact on the kidneys secondary to this other illness. So it can be really quite complex, as you say.
Mm. Is there a bit of a difference between maybe just an acute kidney injury compared to like a chronic kidney disease? Does that exist?
Absolutely. So an acute situation would be the dog got exposed to something. And so that can be antifreeze is one of the more common ones, and that can truly be deadly. And then bacterial infections. And then, as I said earlier, if the dog gets something that's causing severe vomiting and diarrhea and dehydration, what would have been pre-renal, meaning the renal values go up or the kidney values go up because the dog is dehydrated, becomes a chronic problem because the kidneys have been damaged because the dehydration was sustained for such a long period of time. And then chronic kidney disease really comes into play for pets that are older. And so what's happened is that over time, they've been dehydrated for quite a while at a low level, and the kidneys are not functioning well because they've been pushed to the max. The other sort of thing that's in the middle of these two is a congenital kidney disease. And so this is a dog that is born with kidneys that don't function normally. And this dog may look completely normal until it hits, say, 12, 18 months of age, and then all of a sudden it presents with vomiting, diarrhea, signs of end-stage kidney disease because the body has just surpassed the dog's ability to filter out the waste products. But indeed, this was likely a condition present at birth, but the dog was able to sort of deal with it, if you will, until it reached a certain point, if that makes sense.
Yep. So then once a dog is diagnosed with kidney disease, what are the main management strategies that you recommend?
So first of all, I think it's important to understand where that dog is. So there is something called the International Renal Interest Society, and they have documents all over the internet about what the different stages of kidney disease are. And what that involves is looking at the results of lab tests. So notably SDMA and then creatinine and BUN, what those elevations mean, and how to start addressing them. And this is all purely from a conventional format. But what I think is important to note is that they discuss the fact that SDMA, which is sort of the test that veterinarians now hang their hats on, is saying, yep, your dog has kidney disease, is a good test, but it also can be an indicator of inflammation elsewhere in the body. So if we get an elevated SDMA level and the dog's creatinine and BUN are normal and the dog really looks fine, it's important to know, does this dog have inflammatory bowel disease? Does it have a skin infection? Does it have a chronic ear infection? Those are all things that can increase SDMA values without actual kidney disease being at play. And I think this is one thing that most veterinarians will say, your dog's SDMA is up at 18, so it probably has early kidney disease, and stop there and not do any further testing or actually look at the rest of the dog to say, oh gosh, well, but he has this horrific skin infection going on, so let's clear that up first and then retest and see if this is okay or not okay. So I think it's critical first to make sure what's what. The other thing is that many veterinarians will do SDMA, BUN, creatinine, and maybe the BUN and creatinine are elevated along with the SDMA, but what they've not done is a urinalysis. And so urinary tract infection will cause all three of these things to be elevated. And instead of treating that infection appropriately, the veterinarian often says, oh, your dog has stage 2 kidney disease, just put it on this bag of food and we'll see how things are in 3 weeks. And then the dog gets sicker and sicker because the infection has not been attended to. So this is where you have to be the advocate for your pet and understand what these values mean and make sure that all of the testing has actually been done adequately. Now, having said all of that, that was a rather long-winded segue, but the deal is that it's so important to make sure that you're getting plenty of moisture into your dog. So many times for dogs that have been eating a kibble diet, if they switch to a more whole foods diet where there's plenty of moisture built in, then we see those kidney values drop back down to normal in many cases. So that's always step one, is to make sure that this dog is well hydrated. The second is that at its basis, whether this is an acute process or a chronic process in the kidneys, inflammation is underlying everything. And so it's critical to make sure that we control inflammation as best as possible. And we want to do that using supplements. So omega-3 fatty acids are the most commonly used supplement for this purpose, because they'll reduce inflammation and help the body sort of reset to a more normal place. And then lastly, the other thing that's going to be critical is to make sure that the microbiome is working as well as it possibly can, because that's part of how the body gets rid of the wastes in the gut. So if we've got the gut working well, the little bacteria that help us be healthy are working well and getting rid of waste products, then that takes some of the burden off of the kidneys. So that's really one of the top three steps I would suggest.
And I know you mentioned nutrition there. And like many things, nutrition plays a crucial role in how we deal with diseases and stuff. So what are some considerations and recommendations for dogs with renal issues in regards to their nutrition?
I think, again, you really have to look at where the dog is in the stage of kidney disease. If it's at end-stage disease where the creatinine, the BUN, and the phosphorus levels are astronomically high, then this is where I would consider limiting protein intake. And this is because at this point, the kidneys really have minimal ability to do their work. And so we need to minimize protein intake at this point to help reduce their workload. Before that, I think what happens with older dogs is that we end up reducing their muscle mass and make them more weak and vulnerable. But the more water, the more fluid you can get into your dog, whether that's through food. Personally, I teach cooking foods with the original Crock-Pet diet. So there's a lot of vegetables, a lot of meat as well, but vegetables, grains, and legumes, if that's appropriate for that particular dog. All of that fiber helps hold water in the GI tract so that, again, it's more available to the body to help flush things out. Many times, dogs, as they advance through kidney disease, may need subcutaneous or intravenous fluids on a regular basis to help flush the kidneys out. Unfortunately, dialysis in the later stages of kidney disease is really difficult to carry off because it does require anesthesia. The pet has to be hooked up to a machine for several hours, getting the blood filtered. So it's really difficult to do on a regular basis. It's only available at select veterinary teaching hospitals. So often we resort to the poor man's dialysis, if you will, of sub-Q or intravenous fluids.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned a lower protein diet, because I know that a lot of people say that your dog's got kidney disease and they just need to go on a low protein diet, full stop. So are you saying that it's really only the end of the scale that needs a low protein diet?
For me, yes. And what I found is that because so many of our dogs that are diagnosed with kidney disease, if we start an 8-year-old dog that has a lifespan of 12 to 14 years, on a low protein diet at 8, we're going to limit their ability to maintain muscle significantly. And so as this dog ages, the muscle that would have protected the joints, allowed the dog to continue to move and to walk and to exercise, isn't there. And so we have this debilitated pet. I find that often there are many things we can do, including adding in supplements like quercetin, for instance, that will hold still those kidney values. They won't, maybe they will get better, maybe they won't, but in many cases, they don't get worse rapidly. And so what that means to me is that we've got a pet that the piece of paper is saying this dog has kidney disease, not because the dog is showing us symptoms of drinking more water, urinating more frequently, that sort of stuff. And what we've done by not limiting protein at the outtake is actually giving this dog the ability to continue to move, to exercise, and that's going to actually improve his kidney health because it's going to allow for faster blood flow through the body, make him feel better, keep him from getting stiff, keep him from developing symptoms of arthritis sooner in life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep, sure does. And you also mentioned that sometimes nausea or not having a great appetite is another side effect of chronic kidney disease. What, do you have any suggestions on how pet parents might be able to entice their dogs to eat?
Right. So there's several things you can do. One is to offer different types of food frequently. So what tends to happen when we've got a pet that's been nauseous and not wanting to eat is finally they eat something. So we let them just gorge on it. And what happens is they eat it, they're great, and then they're like, oh, my tummy hurts. I am never going to eat this again. And so I find what's important is to rotate what we're offering on a regular basis. And when they do eat happily, don't let them gorge so that they don't get an upset stomach with it. And then this is where you can use things like ginger and mint and other things that will help to relieve some of that nausea. Other products like CBD products. And then finally, to help stimulate appetite, there is a point called Shan Gen, which is at the junction of where the non-haired region of the nose and the haired region of the nose is. And often by stimulating that point with your fingernail, you'll see your dog sort of shake, and then all of a sudden they'll have the desire to eat. So that's been a good trick for us too.
Wow, that's a really good treat. And pet parents often utilize treats for their dogs. We know a lot of commercial treats and processed human foods contain quite a lot of sodium and phosphorus. So what do you recommend treat-wise? Are pet parents still able to give their dogs normal treats?
Well, I think if you're dealing with a dog that is not wanting to eat, focus on getting high-quality, highly digestible food in first instead of the treats. So it's kind of like, I mean, and there's a certain point where it doesn't matter if we're truly at end stage and this pet's life is drawing towards an end, then you just let them eat what they want to. But if we're in a bump in a road and we're trying to get through it, focus on feeding high quality, easily digestible proteins. And you know, you can try them raw. My preference would be to use them cooked along with some vegetables that are easy for the pet to digest and focus on that rather than treats. But yeah, if you're going to use treats, use pieces of protein, pieces of cheese, small bits and pieces that are really going to be nutrient dense. Sardines are an awesome option because they will also give some omega-3 fatty acids.
Yes, and you did mention omegas in terms of reducing inflammation. What kind of supplements do you like to use to help reduce inflammation in a dog with chronic kidney disease?
Well, I think omega-3s is at the top of the list. And I think what you want to do, if your pet is small, then you can look at using sardines or something like this. There is a growing concern that unfortunately they are contaminated with heavy metals and strontium, for example. So I don't think you want to make this a main part, but just small amounts every day or every few days. Now, the other thing that you can use is quercetin. And this is a bioflavonoid that's generally derived from the white part of the citrus peel. And it is fascinating. We've been using it to help pets and people with allergies because it helps to reduce circulating levels of histamine. The other thing quercetin does is it helps to reduce the deposition of advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, at the level of the nephron. And this I came across this because I was looking for something else we could help our pets with. And this came out of a human study from people that had organ transplants. And one of the drugs they use to prevent the organ from being rejected is cyclosporine. Well, its organ of toxicity is the kidney. And so what they found was that people that had to take now lifetime cyclosporine that took also quercetin, the impact on the kidneys was minimized or eliminated. And so their potential to develop kidney disease became very, very low. So I started trying this for my patients probably 12 or 15 years ago. And what I found over time is that it held the creatinine steady. And I think that's a better marker to use for how well or poorly the kidneys are doing. Held the creatinine steady, or we actually saw it go down to normal in many cases. So for instance, one of my own dogs, Ollie, had a creatinine that was tremendously elevated at about 3. His creatinine was 3.6. He had had an infection. We cleaned that up. It went down to 3.2, which is better, but still not normal. And so we kept feeding Ollie crock-pot diet, home-cooked food, quercetin, omega-3 fatty acids. His creatinine actually went back down to 1.6, and that's not supposed to happen. And Ollie died, sadly, last year at the age of 14, which is amazing. He was an American Bull Terrier or American Pit Bull Terrier, these big, big guys, 75 pounds. So he didn't die of kidney disease. He ended up dying of old age, essentially.
Wow, that's an amazing result that you got just from trying different supplements. Now, what would you say to pet professionals that are taught that a prescription renal diet is what they need to prescribe to their patients? What would you say to them?
I will say to you that, yes, it will make the numbers look better on the piece of paper, but I think you then need to look at the dog sitting next to the piece of paper. And are you, and this is why I started down this path, are you contributing to this dog's quality of life by limiting its protein intake or taking away from it? And so I'd strongly encourage you to make sure that you at least switch first from kibble to either a canned food or a cooked food so that you can see what does increasing fluid consumption do for these kidney values. And if that's enough to make a difference, then I think that's a home run for your patient.
All right. So then what's your number one tip that you recommend for pet owners to go away from this interview and to think about and maybe implement in their own dogs?
One of the biggest things I can say to you is that if you're feeding a kibble diet and you don't have time or the energy to either look at going raw or the finances to go raw, to go with a full cooked diet, start simple and go out and buy a bag of frozen vegetables. So Normandy Blend has broccoli, cauliflower, yellow squash, zucchini. Take a handful, put it in a pot of boiling water, cook the vegetables thoroughly, and then kind of mash it up, pour that over your dog's kibble, and see what starts to happen. At the very minimum, you're going to be adding hot water to the kibble, which will help to start to break it down. And more importantly, is you're going to be adding vegetables, which will provide phytonutrients to help the entire body work well. The second thing I would say is you can't outpill a bad diet. And so do the very best you can in terms of pet food, as far as your finances will allow you to do, because if you don't have the nutrition correct to start with, adding supplements and supplements and supplements on top of it are not going to get you there.
Do you find that, because I know you mentioned home-cooked diets quite a bit, do you find that home-cooked diets go better with a dog with kidney disease compared to a raw diet?
I do. And so if we think about this, so part of my training is in traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. And one of the principles there is that the spleen is considered to be the main digestive organ. And that's spleen with a capital S, meaning it's like, well, how did that happen? But from observation, the Chinese assigned the spleen many of the functions of the pancreas plus some others. And so if the spleen abhors cold and damp, and we're throwing raw food, which is cold and damp, into this gut that's not working well, I think if we've gotten to the point of diagnosing kidney disease, that generally means that there's some level of intestinal permeability or leaky gut present along with the kidney disease. So if we throw cold and damp into this gut that's not functioning well, then it's difficult for it to turn around. And I will tell you that raw food can make a massive difference simply because we're getting away from the kidney, if nothing else, and we're getting onto real food. But I've seen a bigger impact with cooked food because we are presenting this gut that's not functioning well with a pre-digested diet. And so what we tend to see is that these dogs are happy to eat again. They're feeling good when they eat because the food is moving through and being digested easily, and the body is getting the nutrients as well as the moisture it needs.
Interesting. And I can imagine something like a probiotic would also be helpful when we're talking about overall gut health and improving a dog's health.
Absolutely. And I think as you start out, it's important to use a probiotic that does not have prebiotic fibers in it. Because again, if this dog's gut is already sort of not well, and we add the prebiotic fibers in, or a ton of fiber regardless at one go, it's not going to feel very comfortable. I think as currently I'm using a sporulated probiotic, which means that these are in hibernation, if you will. And so the idea is that they will transit the GI tract more effectively and get down into the colon where they need to reestablish the good guys and help do this intestinal diuresis, which is essentially what we're asking the gut to do, is to help get rid of these waste products that the kidneys are trying to help us get rid of.
Now, thank you so much, Dr. Ruth. That's been really informative. For our followers that might want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
At drruthroberts.com. Super easy.
Lovely. And to all our listeners, you can sign up for the Holistic Dog Care Summit, which is a must for any pet lovers keen to adopt a holistic approach for their pet's health and enhance their knowledge on a range of topics. We'll put all the links below. Thank you so much, Dr. Ruth. That was really interesting.
My pleasure, Laura. Very, very fun speaking with you.